two readings this morning, and the first one is to be found in the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 10, beginning at verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetousness, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village, of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked, and the evil man seek out of his wickedness, till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. And then turning over in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 12. 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. And beginning to read at verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. The city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet, and of Iddo the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. May the Lord's blessing be upon his word this day. Amen. Last time, when I was unable to preach, we considered Rehoboam and his reign, that middle part of his life. We've looked how it started seemingly peaceable and how there seemed to be a time of peace in Israel. But then we went on to consider how before long sin began to be seen in Rehoboam's own life and then in the life of those in Israel, and how gross immorality soon was to be found in the land at that time. For as it said in the opening of 2 Chronicles 12, "And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to draw to a conclusion Rehoboam's life and to look what lessons are there for ourselves in this day and age. And this morning, I'd very much focus our thoughts around those words in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 12. "And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." If you like, this verse, verse 14, could almost be the Lord's gravestone for Rehoboam. Don't we often see it in the world when someone passes away? The world often looks for those things that they've done well, tries to find something to praise them for. Often, if it's a celebrity, it can be things that are contrary to thy word and are gross immorality. But here, the Lord, passing his comment through his word upon Rehoboam's life, delivers a very apt word, a very cutting word, and comes straight to the point and states that he did evil because he prepared not his heart. This word prepared can also be rendered to establish, to build up, to set fast, to stand. All these Rehoboam failed to do, as we will hopefully see this morning. But we'll also look at the lessons we can learn and seek to learn how we can prepare our hearts, not as Rehoboam did, but in the right way. And there's three ways that I want to look at this morning and how Rehoboam failed to prepare his heart. And the first way very much sets the tone for the rest of Rehoboam's life. And if we go back to the very start of Rehoboam's reign, when all Israel were called to Shechem to make Rehoboam king, and we consider his actions at that time, we see him at the very start failing to prepare his heart to seek God. Gathered at Shechem, he hears that complaint from the people concerning the burden that has been placed upon them of taxation. And he asks for counsel. He seeks out counsel. In 2 Chronicles 10, at the beginning there, in verse 4, we see him gathered there, and Jeroboam, the spokesman, saying to Rehoboam, "Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee." Rehoboam then goes on to say, come again unto me after 3 days. And all the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men. We saw in that first sermon, as I preached upon this character, how he sought out two means of counsel. He sought out the old men, those who had been in Solomon's court, and then sought out the young men. And we saw how he heeds the advice of the young men. He rejects counsel that is wise and goes after the foolish counsel. So I said in that earlier sermon, those old men would have heard so much of Solomon's wise counsel. They would have perhaps been familiar with those proverbs that Solomon spoke. They would have been familiar with that book of Ecclesiastes. They would have seen how Solomon's life had ended in sin. And they would have been able to instruct Rehoboam and show him the way that he should have walked. But rather, he rejects that wise counsel. And very much in rejecting those words, Rehoboam has rejected God's word at the first. And if we're to prepare our hearts, we would want to hear God's word. If we're prepared to seek God, we will want to know how to seek him. And God's word teaches us that. In preparation, I was caused to think of those well-known verses in Psalm 119 that David was caused to pen concerning God's word. In Psalm 119, such verses as verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Or verses 49 and 50, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast had me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Or that well-known verse in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Rehoboam was not prepared to hear such words. And if we in life were to seek out a place as such, we may ask for a map or a guide. Likewise, God's word is that map and our guide to seek after God. It gives us instruction. It shows us how we are to walk. It gives us instruction on how to prepare ourselves. It gives us instruction in what not to do and what we should do. Secondly, Rehoboam failed to prepare himself by not putting off sin. Having ignored the word of God, Rehoboam soon finds himself committing sin. First of all, we read of him taking many wives in the early part of his life. But then before long, we see him commit sin, outward sin, in the land of Israel. And if there is to be one way that is to stop a man or a woman preparing their heart and seeking after the Lord, it is sure to be sin. Sin is that blight upon the Christian. It taints their walk, dogs their footsteps, brings them into bypath meadow. For Rehoboam at first had cast off that word, how could he later be expected to follow it? He did not want to follow it at the first. How, at a later date, could he be expected not to fall into sin? Earlier I gave the example of using the map to seek out a place. If a man seeking out a place forsakes to use that map or casts it off, how can we expect him not to take a wrong turn? And this is likewise for the Christian who forsakes the word of God. If a Christian or someone is prepared to refuse to hear the word, how can they be expected to be instructed or kept from sin? The word of God should be a continual reminder unto us of our nature, of our sinful state, and the need to turn from it. So earlier, a Christian's attitude to sin says a lot about their preparedness to seek after the Lord. It shows the true state of their heart. There will be many in this day and age who say, we don't need the law, we only need grace. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ tell us in the gospel? If ye love me, keep my commandments. If we are to be prepared to seek after the Lord, we will always seek to turn from sin when it shows itself. We'll always seek to put out sin from our lives. But then we come to another way in which Rehoboam failed to prepare his life. And that third way very much could be summed up as the root cause for all his failure to prepare his heart. And that third way is that sin of pride. As we read in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 12, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and strengthened himself, he forsook the law of God and all Israel with him. And again in verse 13, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem. We don't read of King Rehoboam strengthening himself in the Lord. We read of himself strengthening himself by himself. Pride in his life, saying that he doesn't need the Lord, saying that he can do things in his own strength. It's interesting to note that these strengthening of himself spoken in verse 13 and also in verse 12 almost seem to come when there'd been a time of peace in Israel, when things perhaps were going slightly better for King Rehoboam. He then strengthens himself. And pride alone is something that will keep the heart, from being prepared to seek after the Lord. And that's why I read Psalm 10, and in verse 4 of Psalm 10, the Lord leaves us in no doubt of this matter concerning pride. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Rehoboam was not prepared to listen to God's word. He is not prepared to put off sin all due to his pride. But what about ourselves? Do we say we try to do things our own way, seek God after our own ways? Or do we say we'll seek God God's way? As you'll notice so far, I've quoted from David, also from Rehoboam's grandfather. I'd also like to quote from his father Solomon in Proverbs. For in there, we are very much warned about pride. In chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Or in Proverbs 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Those words, as I said, penned by Rehoboam's father, yet in his own pride, were not heeded. They were not heeded due to the very sin that they condemned. A proud, a boastful heart. And how this should teach us how we need to be so careful against that sin of pride. How easily it can creep into the heart and keep us from the Lord. We should always have that humble heart prepared to submit unto the Lord. And it's interesting to note how this sin of pride causes a spiral of events. First, there was a refusal to hear the word. There was letting in of sin within his family, then the nation. And this ultimately led to a further hardening of the heart. A common sign of the proud sinner. They boast of their ways. Their heart is further hardened. They say, there is no God. And so this downward cycle goes on, each time becoming worse. And again, we must ask ourselves the question, what does this teach us, especially those of us who are called to be God's people? Said pride can easily seep in to our lives. At first, it can begin with something so simple as the reading of God's word. We may at first say, I don't have time. I don't need to read God's word today. It's okay. But to allow it a foothold can soon bring us further down. Before long, we're not attending to the word regularly. We've perhaps even stopped attending the public worship. Before long, sin is easily crept in, because at first we've allowed the proud pride of our own heart to say we don't need something, we don't need the word of God. We must always guard against such an attitude and seek to prepare our hearts. We must not forget to read the word of the Lord, to read it and attend to the public worship of it. We must, when sin is shown in our lives, to cast it off. for that heart that is prepared aright will always seek to cast off sin. As Paul tells us in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin? God forbid, comes the reply. A heart that has been prepared aright will always seek to cast off sin. And as I said, most of all, let us be on our guard against that proud heart. For that alone will stop us seeking after the Lord aright. Psalm 10, as I said, tells us the wicked will not seek after the God. But it also goes on in those closing verses to tell us how the Lord has heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. A Christian who has that right state of heart, that humble heart, and that right heart, will also have the help of the Lord to prepare and establish their hearts. And here, once again, we see how it is man's responsibility paired alongside God's sovereignty. And by preparing our hearts aright, by having that humble heart, those hearts not given over to pride, the Lord is allowed in and can prepare our hearts. Having said all this, we must also look at what our motivation should be for preparing our hearts. There will be those that say, why make such a big deal of sin or of having a humble heart? But we know that we must prepare our hearts. And we must look for a reason why we should prepare our hearts. For if we look for that reason, we can see and be encouraged why. We rightly acknowledge that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. But if we are elect with that foreknowledge, what will we seek to do? Will we not want to seek after that one who has called us? As I said, if our hearts are prepared, what should be our further motivation? Is it salvation that we seek? Is it salvation the reason why we seek to prepare our hearts? No, as I said, we are elect and already called and redeemed. For we're not saved by works alone. Do we prepare our lives to seek after the Lord for an easy life? No, the Christian's life may bring blessing in this life, but we know that the Christian path so often is hard. But we can find an answer to that motivation, the reason for preparing our hearts, in Colossians chapter 3 and that opening verse. If ye then be risen with the Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here should be the Christian's motivation for preparing their heart aright. This should be their hope for preparing their heart. For a heart that is prepared to seek after the Lord will be seeking those things that are above. Rehoboam very much lived for the now, lived and sought after those things that were brought pleasure to his own flesh. And in so doing, he stiffened his heart against the Lord. And here is the reason for Rehoboam's evil. His heart had not been established or built up or prepared to seek after those things above. Over these four sermons that I've been enabled to preach on Rehoboam, we've seen how he ignored what wise counsel, allowed sin in, and never truly turned from it, and ultimately had that heart unprepared for the Lord. His heart was rather prepared to do evil than seek the Lord. And we must ask ourselves, are our hearts this morning prepared to seek after the Lord? It's interesting to note that the word prepared is used speaking of Rehoboam. The Lord could have easily said he did evil because he did not seek the Lord. Instead, the word prepared is used in that passage. And that can teach us. In everyday language, in using the word prepared, we may say, we prepare to go here. We prepare to do this. And when we do, we may gather things. We can consider the example of someone looking to relocate to another land, maybe, to move country with a job. In preparation for that, they will seek out things needful to move. They will look in to that land where they're going to be living. And is not this likewise the case with the believer who is also travelling to a land? In travelling to that land, that heavenly Jerusalem, the Christian should prepare their hearts. Their hearts should be prepared for that journey. It must also be prepared to enter in that land. Every step upon this earth should be another step in preparation for that heavenly abode. Ultimately, man's heart is prepared for one of two places: either heaven and that eternal rest upon high with the Lord, or prepared to that place of everlasting destruction, that place where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the reason for that is that their heart will have been prepared to do evil. In John's Gospel, we're told that Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. But are we prepared for that place and to seek after that place? Rehoboam prepared his heart to seek after foolish counsel. He prepared his heart to seek after the lusts of the flesh, and prepared his heart not to serve the Lord. And it ends in a very sorry state. This God's word says that he did evil, and so ends his reign. And what a sorry state it ends in. But let each one of us take note from his reign. Let each one of us learn from it, that we may seek after the word, that we may turn from sin, and that we may have humble hearts, and that as we humble our hearts, that our hearts may be prepared by the Lord, that our hearts may be prepared aright to seek after the Lord, and that in order that our hearts, as they're prepared, may be prepared to obtain that heavenly kingdom upon high, that place that Christ has gone before to be prepared. For that should be the aim of preparing our hearts, should be the desire of our preparation, to be prepared for a life to come. May the Lord so help each one of us to have hearts prepared to enter that eternal kingdom upon high. Amen. In conclusion, we'll sing hymn number 664. And verse 3 tells us, and those towards the end, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, O take it and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above." Hymn number 664.
Oh,
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us here may seek after those things that are right, may seek to prepare our hearts aright, that our hearts would be softened by Thee, that our hearts would be prepared by Thee, that we would be prepared to seek after Thee. And Lord, we make this our prayer, praying that Thou would now go with us, that Thou would watch over us in the intervening hours, and to restore us later this day, once again, to gather around Thy word, to sit under it, and to be blessed by it. And we ask all these things in and through Thy Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.